Hello and welcome along to the RTE Soccer Euro 2020 podcast. I'm delighted to be joined by Ray Houghton. How are you doing, Ray?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
Good stuff. So the first round of games are over, so it's a good time to kind of reflect, see where we're at. I think it's been an enjoyable tournament, most would say, Ray. It's been there's been a few standout heroes, I would say. Here's Patrick Schick, scored a goal everybody will remember. Denmark's team doctor won't be forgotten by anybody. Referees have been pretty good on diving and a few other issues that they've seemed to have. It's not often the officiating gets such a positive reviews from so many corners. And then you've got Ronaldo, maybe not for breaking the European Championship record for goals, but for fighting the good fight for healthy eating and drinking by pushing bottles of carbonated drink out of the way in favour of water. What's been your standout moment so far, Ray?
Well, I must admit, you know, you come into your tournament, you get the first game and it sort of sets the tone. And I thought Italy against Turkey did that for me. I thought the Italians were outstanding. You know, they came in with a wonderful record. I think they've been unbeaten for the last, 2 years or so? Mm-hmm. You know, it's been absolutely phenomenal stuff from them. I wanted to see how good they were. I didn't think there was any standout player. So when I watched them, I didn't see an individual that I was looking at thinking, yeah, he was going to be the difference. But what I seen was a fantastic team ethic. I thought they worked extremely well as a group. They didn't look like they were going to give up too many chances. And obviously got the three goals in a comprehensive win. Very disappointed with Turkey because I actually thought they were going to do reasonably well. But they looked like they just sat off the Italians and let them dictate the game. But as an opening match to a tournament, I was really impressed with the Italians. I thought they attacked it in the right way.
Yeah, it's interesting what you say. They're not a team of superstars by any means. The days of Italian football being, you know, avidly watched by us all are kind of gone. We know a few of the stars, Immobile, Insigne, you know, obviously Jorginho, but they don't play like an Italian team, do they? An Italian team of old, they're very much a pressing team. They put the opposition under pressure, which is refreshing to see from an Italian team.
Yeah, but you've got two of the oldest centre-backs in Bonucci and Chiellini. I mean, Chiellini, I think last year, had a cruciate ligament operation. And yet, 36, 37 years of age, he's come back and you wouldn't know it. You know, these two lads know how to defend. I like to see football in the sense that you attack, but you can know how to defend. And these boys know how to defend. I'm usually impressed by the two centre-halves. The goalkeeper's very good. I think the fullbacks going forward, give them an extra dimension. Locatelli in midfield. You know, you've got Jorginho, who just, you know, I call him the continuity player. Just gives it nice and simple. Doesn't overcomplicate his game. But they've got a really good mix, a good blend, and it works really well. You know, and you can see that, you know, everyone's working hard for each other, even when they're 3-0 up. You know, and Turkey have got an opportunity to score a goal late on. You know, Chiellini makes a block, and it's like, you know, the best thing that's happened the whole game. You know, and I love that desire. I love that determination. I love the fact that that means so much to them. You know, It's not just about scoring. It's about keeping the ball out your net, which is as important as scoring a goal. You know, if you concede, you have to get one or two to get something out of the game. So, yeah, it's fascinating watching. Delighted to their challenge having lost that defensive mentality.
You speak of defending. There's only been the 1-0 draw thus far, obviously, which was Spain and Sweden last night, which was, you know, one of those 0-0 draws where you are left wondering how it was 0-0. Alvaro Morata doing his part to keep it that way. But tonight, just looking at it, we had the last two World Cup winners obviously facing off, and it was a compelling game. France, I don't know what you could say, but like they're stacked with talent. But in the final half hour, you could say their one tactic was, let's try and get Mbappe over the top, which as tactics go isn't the worst. But when you've got a team so chocked full, do you think they were maybe a little bit brainless in the last half hour, or are we not giving Germany enough credit?
No, I think you've got to give Germany a bit of credit. You know, I thought their attitude was excellent. You know, they've gone a goal behind and they took the game to France. And France, you know, did sit off them a little bit. You know, we didn't really see the best of France as an attacking force. And when you think of what they've got and what's on the bench, you know, what's got to come on to the pitch as well. I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches, isn't it? You know, most countries would, you know, love to have half what they've got. But I just didn't think the three gelled, you know, as everyone was looking at it, wow, you've got Benzema, Mbappe and Griezmann. Well, this is going to be magical. And yet, they never linked up together. You know, they were very much individuals. I thought Griezmann had done a lot of his work defensively rather going forward. He got some great blocks in, got some great tackles in. But when he's on the ball, you know, he's not running at people. He's not making runs in behind. Everything's like a little bit tippy-tappy. Benzema's your number nine. He's going to stay up there. Obviously, he had a goal that was chopped off rightly offside. But Mbappe's the one because you can defend and defend and defend. But then all of a sudden, one ball over the top and he's going to run away from everyone, you know, and he's going to get chances that way. I honestly think with the big teams, the big international teams, they grow into your tournament. So the first game isn't always their best. They don't want to always produce the best form early. They want to grow into it. So the more the competition goes on and you see them in the last 16, the last eight, and then, you know, you're into the semi-finals, that's where they really step up the game and step up the play. So I, you know, some teams start really well and you think, wow, they've got a chance to win it. But to win it, there's seven games. You know, that's how many matches you've got to play. And you can't play really well for the first one and, you know, peter out for the rest. I think you've got to build into it. And certainly looking at both Germany, Portugal, the game that I did this afternoon, watching them play, you know, they were very good in the first half against Hungary. And then in the second half, they just lost their way a little bit. And then the manager freshens it up, throws on a few players from the bench and, you know, Hungary just switch off momentarily and they're punished for it. You know, two quick goals and Ronaldo's now the hero once again because he's broken the record, not only of playing in five Euro finals, but also, you know, he's got 11 Euro goals in them finals as well, beating Platini by two now. So, yeah, there's some good performances, some good teams I'm looking at, but I think you're going to see the best of them when it comes to the knockout. Once we get through the phase where, a bit like watching Spain last night against Sweden, it's like an attack against defence. So, you know, Spain's got all the ball. Sweden's doing all the defending, which is fine, you know, maybe in the group stage. But I don't think Sweden would get away with that when it comes to knockout, you know, because if you make one mistake, the opposition score and you're out. So you can't afford to do that. And as I say, I think once the tournament gets really underway, and we get to out the group stages, you'll see the classier teams come to the fore.
Yeah, it's interesting you say it because I actually looked up to see how France started the World Cup in Russia and they needed a penalty and an own goal to beat Australia 2-1. So, yeah, to only manage to beat their predecessors as world champions by a goal to nil, it's not exactly a bad situation to be
well,
in.
Well, I mean, 5 years ago at the start of the 2016, you know, the eventual winners, Portugal, in the group stages didn't win a game. They drew all three matches. So, I mean, that's how it can go. It doesn't mean because you're drawing, as I say, you don't start well, doesn't mean you can't finish well. Mm. You know, that's how football goes. Sometimes you get teams, you know, like Belgium had a fantastic start against Russia, you know, and they didn't have the two-star attractions. Kevin De Bruyne didn't play. Eden Hazard didn't play. Lukaku's had a fabulous season. And, you know, in recent weeks for his country, he's been doing rather well as well. And he, you know, looks the real threat. And I've got to say, Belgium has having a favourites tag coming into a lot of tournaments recently, actually showed why. You know, they probably one of the most outstanding performances when they won that game 3-0. I think England's victory over Croatia was a hard worked, a lot of effort they put into it to win it 1-0. But I thought Croatia, to me, looked like a team that, you know, peaked 2 years ago. And they're just going over the edge. And there's not enough new youngsters coming through to push out the older generation. It's the same faces. They're neat and tidy. They keep the ball. But I didn't really think they had that much of a goal threat against England. And I think England went on to win it, you know, comfortably enough. They'll be happy with that starting 3 points.
It started a bit better for them than it did in 88 anyway. But do they want to win that group is the question. You know, when you have the third seeds coming through out of some groups and you look at the way the knockouts are going, like England win that group, they'll play the second place team from Group F, which could be any of three, bar Hungary, let's be honest. And if they win the group, they play the winner from that group if they get through to the quarterfinals. So either way you look at it, they're kind of on the stickier side of the draw.
It's a tough draw, isn't it? It's a really tough draw for whoever finishes top of that group, you know, whether it is England, Czech Republic, you know, Scotland, who, you know, they lost to the Czech Republic 2-0, but in fairness, Scotland had lots of chances that they didn't take, you know, and that's maybe the area where they're struggling a little bit up front. You know, they haven't got a recognised goal scorer, a real poacher, if you like, inside that 18-yard box is going to finish things off. So the they'll give a good account of themselves against England, because it's a game you don't, you know, you don't need to get them up for. There's no motivation needed for that. You know, you're playing against the old enemies, Scotland, England are. So the players will know what's at stake, and they know they can't afford to lose that one. Czech Republic, I don't think they're, you know, they're what I would call a very solid team. You know, hard working, everyone does their job, but there's got no real stars. I know Sheik up front got two great goals. His second one was world class. You know, his vision and awareness was absolutely outstanding, and probably will be the goal of the tournament. I'm not sure there's going to be a lot better than that, what I've seen so far. And, you know, maybe who knows how things will go in the next games, but they've got themselves into a really good, strong position. There's a lot of talk about Scotland getting out of the group. Croatia, for obvious reasons, you know, finalists in the World Cup, what, 3 years ago. England were the favourites because got to play most of the games at home, aren't they? But it looks like, you know, the Czech Republic have, you know, just said, well, we're here, you know, and we fancy our chances of getting out of the group.
A little bit on that game on Friday, England and Scotland in Wembley. Like, on paper, there is only one winner, but in a way, England have been a little bit unfortunate to draw their nearest neighbours, because there's no denying it. Ireland, the team you played for, did it countless times, kind of, you know, drew strength from the strength of the opposition and the kind of the emotion that can come into it. Like, that's Scotland's European Championship final. Not to be condescending to Scotland, but like, get a result in Wembley, and they don't like going out in group stages. That happens too often, but my God, it would go a long way to get them out of the group and making the tournament worthwhile.
Well, it would really open up the tournament, wouldn't it? As far as that group's concerned, that's for sure, because the Czech Republic take on Croatia in the earlier game. You know, they're playing earlier. So, you know, Scotland don't know exactly what they have to do as far as, you know, what points is needed. Because if they draw the game in the last games against Croatia and they win it, they'll go through probably in third position. You know, that's the way it could work out. We have to watch out for the permutations. But in itself, it's a cracking game. You're quite right. The expectation's all on England. You know, not only should they beat Scotland, they should beat them comfortably. You know, that's the reality of it. Because when you look at where what Scotland have got you off, and the players that they've got in relation to what England have got, and the riches that England have got. I mean, they're not playing Jack Grealish, you know, for example. And, you know, Jack Grealish would probably walk into most international teams at the moment. You know, he's been on such great form. I know he did his injury in the build-up to the finals, but, you know, as a player and the couple of seasons he's had in the Premier League, he's been absolutely outstanding. You know, Jadon Sancho, who could be worth 90 million and moving to England, couldn't even get into the 23. You know, he didn't even get a spot. Chilwell, who won the, you know, the Champions League with Chelsea, wasn't even in the 23. So it shows you what England have got as far as options. And as long as England attack the game in the right way and they don't take it for granted, you know, and they don't look at Scotland as inferior opposition, then they'll be okay. But if they do, and they're overconfident, they might come unstuck. I don't think they will, but, you know, there's always a chance. But the reality is England should win.
Yeah. So we've seen we've seen the winners now, Ray, because we've seen every team. A bit unfair after a round and after you saying the best teams will play their way into it. But if you were putting a cheeky tenner down now, who are your winners after that?
Well, I mean, I'd be looking at Belgium, to be honest. I think, you know, it's about time that they actually realise the potential that they've got. You know, for so many years, in the last few years, you know, they're going into it as the number one team in Europe, maybe the number one team in the world. And the reality is they haven't lived up to it. You know, 5 years ago, they got knocked out by Wales in the quarterfinals, which no one's seen coming. You know, Wales had a good run. What, they beat Northern Ireland, was it on penalties or whatever, in the previous round? It was a close encounter. Then they go into the next game against Belgium. Belgium are meant to be this all-inclusive team that can beat anyone, and they end up losing at 3-1. So, you know, there's good reason to look at Belgium and say, look, you know, the hype's one thing, but you have to start producing, and maybe this is their year to produce.
Yeah. Well, as a Leicester City fan, I'd almost consider that a win, seeing as there's three Leicester players in the squad, is one way of looking at it. But yeah, when you consider that Axel Witsel and Kevin De Bruyne were injured and not even included, or didn't.
And Eden Hazard wasn't, you know, Eden Hazard's not even in the starting 11, you know, because he's not had a lot of games for country or for Real Madrid this season. And, you know, the further down the line that they go, you know, obviously he's training. You'll be getting 10, 15 minutes, maybe a little bit more on the pitch. His fitness levels will come up. And, you know, he's such a talent that even if you brought him off the bench for the last 20 minutes, he's got so much to offer as a game changer. Probably a little bit more than most teams. But France is another team I wouldn't, you know, I'd be looking at as potential finalists, you know, just because of the depth of the squad. Mm. You look, defensively, they looked all right tonight. You know, we Kimpembe and Varane at centre halves. You've got Hernandez at left back, Pavard at right, you know, Lloris in goal. These lads are used to winning tournaments, you know. And for the manager who won the World Cup, he won the European Championships as a player, he's now won the World Cup as a manager. And, you know, who knows, this could be, you know, something historic for a manager to actually win it both as a player and win it as a manager as well. So that's what he'll be looking to do.
Yeah, not bad for a water carrier, huh?
Just
finally, it would be remiss of us not to mention the what happened in Copenhagen, and just to reflect a little bit on that now. Thankfully, a couple of days on, and we know that Christian Eriksen is going to be okay. Naturally, it's in our nature now to think, you know, is his football career over? Obviously, that pales in comparison to his life being over, and we're all very glad of that. For Denmark, they've lost their talisman, but you'd wonder now, the result was, you know, inconsequential to them in the end, but it does put them in an uphill task. But you kind of wonder the response you get from that squad, because it's still a very talented squad, as we in Ireland know, Christ, we know better than most. Even without Eriksen, that's a team that would be expecting to make the knockouts. And you'd wonder now, with the likes of Kasper Schmeichel, very experienced kind of leader, like, how they will go on? Will they just write off this tournament? Will they?
No, I don't think.
Will there be a siege mentality kind of effect?
I think it'll galvanize them. You know, I felt so sorry for the players on the day. You know, because there they are, one of their teammates, and they don't know if he's going to live or die. You know, they're there and they're very concerned. You could see they were tearing up. You know, they were looking round. They didn't want to look at, because obviously he was getting resuscitated. He'd been brought round, but then I'm sure they were absolutely delighted, like we all are, all football fans around the world, delighted that he's making a recovery. You know, regardless what happens in his career, at least he's alive and he can still see his family. I mean, watching his wife on the sidelines was heartbreaking for me. You know, I just thought it was quite incredible, very emotional, you know, and I was just delighted to hear quite quickly once he got to the hospital that he was okay. So that's the great news. Hopefully he'll be all right, regardless what happens in football. It pales into significance, as you say, his life and being around his family is the most important thing. And for the players, some of them will want to have played, you know, the remaining whatever number of minutes of it they had to. Others will probably have said, you know what, can't be bothered, to be honest. It's irrelevant. You know, I'm so worried about my teammate. That takes the precedent over everything else. But now, you know, I've seen him up in hospital and thumbs up, and you know, he sent messages to the players. I think they'll now come together and say, right, let's do it for Christian. Let's go out there and, you know, next game, let's make sure that we're ready, we're professional, and we give our all. And I think he'll be the driving force now for the players to go out there and produce the best form.
Yeah. I think they'll be everybody's second team, or for some neutrals, first team from here on. Listen, Ray, thanks very much for joining us. Just a reminder, you can, of course, watch every game from Euro 2020 on RTE2 and the RTE Player, with some of the simultaneous games on the Player, obviously, and not on RTE2. Can only show one game at a time. And we have all the reports, all the reaction and goals on the RTE website and the RTE News app. So we'll catch you again later in the week. And thanks to Ray. And we'll see you again. Goodbye.
All the best. Pleasure.